This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover lots of different topics on the program every day, and welcoming somebody new to Douglas County, or fairly new anyway, Dr. Derek Rafston, the Chief of Psychiatric Services for ADAPT Integrated Health. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, how long have you been with ADAPT?
A little over a month.
And you came from where?
Pocatello, Idaho.
Now, Pocatello is probably bigger than it used to be, but it's not a super large community, right?
Oh, probably 65,000. It's and growing, but, you know, it's...
And how far from Boise?
Plenty far. About 3.5 hours.
Okay. I just remember when I lived in Eastern Oregon, we used to go east periodically, mm-hmm. so that was a place that I went. So I guess, first of all, kind of explain what your role is as being the Chief of Psychiatric Services. What does that mean? What do you do?
I'm figuring that out. I think, in essence, I'm able to participate with the leadership of ADAPT, and so I'm part of that executive team. Principally, I'm getting to know our providers, right? We have four psychiatric nurse practitioners and actually five, one lives remote, and another psychiatrist. So getting to know my team and really understanding the mission of how to deliver excellent integrated healthcare, which is great.
So talk about your background in this field.
Well, as you know, Kyle, it started in radio.
You know how many times over the years somebody's come in for an interview and they used to be in radio?
So, yeah, I think I had plans to be a surgeon or family medicine, but towards the end of medical school, I stumbled into psychiatry and was fascinated. And it's almost like in a movie or book where all the pieces and events of your life sort of come together and you're like, wow. So mental health and illness, and it was sort of what connected people and events and interactions I'd had, and it started to make sense. I went to residency at the University of Utah. I practiced in Utah for 3 years and then been back in Southeast Idaho for the last 22 years. And I've served in all sorts of capacities, inpatient, outpatient, children, adolescents, geriatric populations. So a good generalist psychiatrist in the last 15 years running an interdisciplinary mental health clinic in Pocatello.
Now, you had mentioned off the air before we got started that you did do some time in radio. And was that, I don't remember, was that partly while you were in college?
Yeah, it seemed like a great idea. I was going off to Idaho State there in Pocatello, and I thought, it's a great part-time job. I can get paid to listen to music and to talk. That was a part-time job that I held throughout my college days.
So what you're saying is playing country music led you to psychiatry.
I was not very good. That was record players, 45s.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't know any of the artists. I knew my 70s and 60s music, but anyway, it was a quick learning curve to get up to speed on country music at that time.
So as you got into this, you said the pieces all kind of came together. I mean, it sounds like there was a point where you realized, maybe not specifically, but generally, what field you really were meant to be in.
Well, you know, human behavior is pretty fascinating, right? And everybody has a story. And I think it was psychiatry that I had a great mentor that fourth year and a rotation I was doing at the state hospital who just fanned my interest in psychiatry and people and helping them make sense of what has happened to them, why they're thinking, feeling, acting the way they do. Then I had to make that announcement to my wife, my family, other mentors who thought I was going to do other things. And I said, I'm going to psychiatry. It was a little iffy in the beginning if I'd made the right choice, but pretty clear. There was no looking back. Psychiatry has been a wonderful career and journey for me.
when you are working with clients, everybody's story is somewhat different.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, as I said this morning, a new evaluation, I said, you're not a disorder. You're a person, right? But my job is to organize those symptoms in a way that, according to rules of diagnosis, and then most importantly, for the treatment that we leverage based on an evidence-based, validated approach to diagnostic assessment. And then that sets the stage for the types of medication and non-medication approaches to help people get well.
Do you ever feel like, because psychiatry has been kind of an evolving field, I mean, every area of medicine, you try things, things work, ultimately maybe people come up with other methods or different medications. Do you ever feel like psychiatry gets a bad rap sometimes?
Oh, for sure. Having said that, you know, I think I harbored some inaccurate attitudes, for sure. I probably still do to some degree. But I knew this, that it was really on the cusp, right? There was the decade of the brain, and there had been all sorts of research that was back in the 90s. So I knew it was up and coming. You know, we kind of know the heart, you kind of know the kidneys. But the brain, the most, and I approach this with humility, I'm not a researcher, I'm not an expert in any kind. I'm just a clinician, somebody who loves their job, and I love the field and what we're learning now. And I've really tried to embrace and learn as much as I can about newer and novel treatments to sort of add to that toolkit so that when you walk into my office, I'm not doing what I was trained to do in terms of, I still use some of that knowledge, obviously, but things have evolved significantly in the last 20, 25 years.
So after all the time in Idaho and being in Utah, what led you to Southern Oregon?
I've only got, I think, so much of a career left. I'm really at that 25-year mark beyond my training, residency training. So I'm thinking, you know, I got to make the most of this. I love the community I was at, the people I was able to serve, and friends, family, et cetera. But I believe in the mission of ADAPT, integrated care, primary care, mental health, and substance use. So I kind of strive for that in a very small way in my office in the community. But I think I hope to really just join a really excellent team and a mission that I'm 100% behind in terms of integrated care.
And why do you feel like the integrated piece is so important?
Well, you know, I do a lot of groups. I do individual therapy in addition to the novel treatments and standard kind of what you might think a psychiatrist might do. But I emphasize to patients, there's not a clear, at least for me, there's not a clear distinction between brain and body and mind and brain and body. And it's all connected. So you have to sort of take a more, for me, inclusive understanding of, Kyle, you're not going to feel good mentally and emotionally if physically you're not well. And sometimes we don't even know that we're physically not well, or emotionally maybe we know, but we don't know what to do about it. So really helping to understand, and oh, by the way, that behavior, that addiction has really just been an effort to try and cope, right? You've been through some really bad stuff, and this is the best you've learned to cope, to take care of yourself. Having said that, it's not working in some ways, right? And so helping individuals acquire those skills and tools and then to undergo that healing to then have the life they want to have.
All right, Dr. Derek Raffston with us from ADAPT Integrated Healthcare. Going to take a break, back in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Dr. Derek Ravston, Chief of Psychiatric Services for Adapt Integrated Health, been here a month in the Umpqua Valley. So what are your thoughts about the Roseburg area now that you've been here for a few weeks?
It's lovely. Toasty warm right now, but yeah, it's lovely. We've taken a couple of trips to the coast, and I've done a couple of hikes to Gold and Silver Falls over near Coos Bay. So my wife is really good about grabbing a map and saying, okay, let's go here. And so it's been lovely.
What do you think with your skill set that you bring to Adapt that is going to add to what they can do?
Well, that's a good question. You better ask them that. I just know I love what I do, and it's not hard for me to come to work, and it's been that way for a long time. I do have some experience with something called transcranial magnetic stimulation, and it's a magnet that is used to treat treatment-resistant depression. Also has some other indications in mental health, including OCD. And I've been doing that for over 5 years now. I also have been pretty active in the use of ketamine-assisted psychotherapy. So ketamine in its racemic form of esketamine was approved as Spravato in 2019. And so I've paired my ketamine therapy with a specific kind of psychotherapy known as IFS. But it's a type of therapy that helps individuals take advantage of the break that ketamine can pause. It's a dissociative agent that's been used in anesthesia since the 1960s. But with ketamine being approved for its mental health, for treatment of depression and depression with suicidality. So I leverage that to help give patients a little break and then use that IFS therapy, which is a unique therapy. It's unlike any other therapy that that I've learned that really helps patients learn to sort of understand their thoughts and their behaviors and the physical sensations and how that all comes together and where that comes from and how to, again, do some healing work. So that's been really gratifying. Plus, I do some work. I use a therapy, evidence-based therapy, known as pain reconciliation therapy, PRT, which helps address chronic pain. I've just really looked to my patients, look to the evidence base, what's been the go-to, and when that's failed, you're going to kind of have to look to solid research that's out there. And then I've tried to learn that, incorporate it in my practice, and it's so gratifying to see people get well. So I think I bring sort of that kind of experience. I was one of the few psychiatrists in outpatient private practice model in Southeast Idaho. So, and I had associates that work with me, but we were busy. But, you know, I embraced that opportunity and challenge to sort of find new, appropriate, safe kind of alternatives for patients that hadn't gotten better elsewhere. I hope to be replicating the same thing, TMS, ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, some of the groups that I do. Hope to bring that and get that going here soon.
Now, you spent some time as president of the Idaho Psychiatric Association. Talk about what that was like.
Yeah, well, that was great because I got to meet psychiatrists from around Idaho as well as physicians from around the state. I was able to go to some national meetings and learn about how to better advocate for mental health and psychiatry. And so it was great. It was an opportunity to serve and give back to your state, your community, and partner with really amazing psychiatrists, executive staff that would run our IPA and the Idaho Medical Association, and they, I'm just so really appreciative of that. Although I'll tell you, I was nominated by a colleague when I wasn't even at the meeting that year, and he says, "Hey, I nominated you, and you got they started you as a secretary or something," and I said, "You did what?" Anyway, I was fortunate that he did that because it put me on a track of years of service that really helped me a lot.
And did you feel like you could really learn from your colleagues maybe more because you were in that role?
Well, it's certainly, you know, Idaho is not a ton of psychiatrists, and, you know, we're all busy in our own areas, but it sort of brought us together, and it helped me learn a little bit about how to work with those in power in the legislature and others to sort of, and other stakeholders to sort of get behind efforts to improve mental health in Idaho. So we did some annual conferences and things like that, and so it was rewarding.
Talk about the importance of mental health, getting help in this post-pandemic world where a lot of people have encountered challenges they didn't used to.
Well, I think, you know, the pandemic was a scary and uncertain time, and for a population that already has risk factors, past abuse, trauma, neglect, and they're trying to cope with substance use, or they're struggling with their mental health. So the pandemic only adds to that, right? It exploits that vulnerability that's already there. So, you know, I think one thing I was sort of advocating for more telepsychiatry, virtual visits before the pandemic, with insurance companies in Idaho. And the political climate there was that was not going to go very far. Medicare, Medicaid would cover it, but private insurances were not in the mood to listen to that for whatever reason. The pandemic changed that. I was literally in Boise in January of 2020. They were receptive to that message, but they didn't really, you know, promise anything. Well, once the pandemic hit, And governors around the country said, "Hey, we've got to, you know, make virtual access to our healthcare providers a possibility." The good news is, Blue Cross, to their credit, I reached out to them a year later and said, "Hey, I really think this is a great thing." And they said, "Hey, it's not going to go away. It may be reformed, but it's not going away." So, you know, I think There's more ways, and virtual visits is one, and I use that a lot in my practice, to where I have very few no-shows. We would collaborate the best we could with patients that had childcare issues, or it's weather or transportation issues, and maybe it's not as good in some cases as being in the office, but it was really pretty good. And for a lot of patients, it made the difference between accessing, being able to follow-up visit, doing some therapy versus not. And that's huge.
About a minute and a half left. Talk about the importance as a mental health professional of taking care of yourself so you can help other people most effectively.
And in a minute and a half is not going to be enough time. So I love to champion lifestyle medicine. And it's a growing, not fully recognized subspecialty, but it really emphasizes restorative sleep, really a largely plant-based diet, but a non-processed food diet primarily. As well as stress management, physical activity, and avoiding unhealthy substances, and important connections in your life. So, trust me, my wife needs therapy because she lives with me, and I eat, drink what I do, and I do the best. Do I have an unhealthy indulgence? Of course, now and again, but trying to take care of yourself, right? Sleep, you know, a healthier diet. Physical activity, connections to people and things that matter, and avoiding those things that are bad for the brain and bad for the body. It's fun. I could talk all day about that. So I personally try and practice as much of that as I can.
All right, we're out of time for now. Dr. Derek Ravston, Chief of Psychiatric Services for ADAPT Integrated Healthcare. We'll have you on again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening. listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.